Please be seated. Over the last couple of weeks, I've been reflecting on my experience working as a hospital chaplain as part of my clinical pastoral education experience. As I think about patient visits and our educational seminars, there is one theme that stands out as more pervasive than any other. And that theme is a question, a one-word question at that. Why? Time and time again in my clinical work, a patient would ask, "Why is this happening to me?" In our educational seminars, my supervisor and peers would ask, "Why did you do that?" And each and every morning as I entered the hospital, I would ask myself, "Why am I here?" Why questions, it seems to me, are inherently messy, often with complicated answers, and can lead us to become defensive. And yet, why questions have the capacity to be invitations to understand a situation, to experience the world in new ways. For generations, people have had to struggle with why questions, and the communities and people we encounter in Scripture are no exception. So this morning, through the invitation unlocked in why questions, we have before us a reminder, a warning, and a glimpse of the kingdom of God that can only be achieved through relationship with God. Today's lesson from Isaiah comes from the concluding chapters of the book in a section biblical scholars refer to as Trito Isaiah or Third Isaiah. Scholars understand this section to have been written after the people of Israel returned from the Babylonian exile. And while they've returned home, things are not as they had hoped they would be. Even though they've returned from exile, they're still being oppressed. And for centuries, they've heard the promise of God's liberation, and yet they still long for it. They wonder, why have God's promises not yet been fulfilled? So as a way of trying to make sense of what is going on in their lives, they start relying on themselves for answers. They begin to blame other people. They turn away from God and worship other gods and participate in pagan rituals. And what we hear this morning is God calling out to the people of Israel and reminding them that they need to turn back towards God. For if the people of Israel refrain from blaming others, if they stop speaking evil, if they reach out and care for those in need, if they delight in God, then and only then will their suffering end. Then their light shall rise in the darkness and their gloom be like the noonday. For it is only by living into the fullness of their covenanted relationship with God that they will experience the liberation and transformation they desire. For the last couple of weeks, the lectionary has taken us through the letter to the Hebrews. This letter was a sermon sent off to some unknown community as a source of encouragement. It's written relatively late, and so this community is actually the second generation of the church. It's a community that has been anxiously waiting for the second coming of the Messiah, which they thought was going to happen pretty immediately after the death and resurrection of Jesus. And not are they only waiting for the second coming, but they're also beginning to feel isolated and separated from the society around them. They're beginning to be persecuted for their faith. I can imagine members of that community wondering in anguish, why is this happening to us? I can imagine them beginning to doubt, beginning to wonder if this was all worth it. And so what we've heard in these last couple of weeks from Hebrews are words of encouragement and the example of great pillars of faith. We've heard that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We've heard of the great faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We've heard that through faith in things unseen, people crossed through the Red Sea and the walls of Jericho came down. And this week, that reminder turns into a warning. It seems that the writer to the Hebrews is saying to them, if all these people, these generations, can stay faithful to God, so can you. But you have to make the decision to stay faithful. So here's where the warning comes in. See that you do not refuse the one who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused the one who warned them on earth, how much less will we escape if we reject the one who warns from heaven? Be warned what will happen to you if you reject this relationship with God that has been offered. Be warned if you reject the message, the life, ministry, death, and resurrection of Jesus. For the same God that dwells in the heavenly Jerusalem, that offers love and mercy freely to all, is the same God that made the great prophet Moses quake with fear. The why question in today's gospel from Luke leads us to experience, to get a glimpse of the kingdom of God in the here and now. Following the healing of a woman on the Sabbath, Jesus is met by the leader of the synagogue who is absolutely outraged. The leader of the synagogue was outraged not because Jesus healed this woman, but because he did it on the Sabbath. The synagogue leader was trying with great intention and sincerity to live his faith with integrity. The Sabbath, as we were reminded in this week's parish record, is a gift from God. It is a day of hallowed rest on which no work is to be done. Keeping the Sabbath is one of the Ten Commandments and is a sign of the covenant God made with the people of Israel. And so, in other words, keeping the Sabbath is serious and important business. So when the synagogue leader sees Jesus breaking the Sabbath, he cannot help but cry out, "Why are you doing this?" In responding to this question, Jesus rebukes the leader and invites him and all those around him to be witnesses to something new God is doing amongst them. In healing this woman, Jesus gives a glimpse of the kingdom of God, a kingdom where all people are set free from the things that hold them down, oppress them, and cause any sort of illness or suffering. In the kingdom of God, the release of the suffering, the liberation of the captive is not held off to tomorrow. It is done immediately. This liberated kingdom life is the ultimate end of our journey of faith. It is the pinnacle of our relationship and life with God. It is that which we long and hope for above all else. We have before us this morning an invitation that serves as a reminder, a warning, and a foretaste of our relationship with God. And yet there's more. In this invitation, in these lessons, there is one more vitally important detail about our relationship with God. Each one of these lessons directs us to the worship of God, for it is through worship that we fully enter into this precious relationship. As the people of Israel in Isaiah are reminded to once more draw near to God, to delight in God, to seek after God, they were reminded that the way they live into their relationship with God is through worship and praise. God cries out to them, if you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, if you honor it, not going your own ways, then you shall take delight in the Lord. If you worship God, you will experience the liberation that you desire. For worship is our way of returning to God when we have fallen short and not living into the fullness of our relationship with God. The warning given in the letter to the Hebrews today concludes with a command to worship. The writer says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us give thanks, by which we offer to God an acceptable worship with reverence and awe. Relationship with God is not something to be entered into lightly, and the same is true of our worship. If we dare to be in relationship with this all-powerful, all-knowing, awesome God, then we must take this relationship more seriously than any other. And as our worship is the entry into this relationship, we must enter worship with all seriousness, care, care and intentionality. In all of today's lessons, there is one person who truly understands the magnitude of encountering God and how to appropriately respond. We hear very little about the unnamed woman in Luke. She does not say a word, and the narrator tells us she only does three things. She appears, she stands upright, and she praises God. She recognizes that without asking for it, she has entered into a profound relationship of liberation with God, and her only response is to shout for joy, her heart full, and offer praise. Worship is our entry, renewal, restoration, and perfection of our relationship with God. It is through worship that our lives are broken open and healed. It is through worship that we are called to go out and care for all of God's people in need. And it is through worship that we are strengthened and prepared for the kingdom life. The worship of God is the only thing that separates faithful people from the world around us. It is the very heart of who we are. And as faithful people of the Anglican variety, the pinnacle of our worship is the celebration of the Eucharist. For in the Eucharist, time stands still. Past, present, and future are all aligned, participating in the praise and worship of God, perfecting our relationship with God. It's in these moments, however brief they may be, that the kingdom breaks open the darkness of our world. St. Augustine once wrote of the Eucharist, "Become what you see and receive what you are." He reminds us that it is our duty to gaze upon the gifts of bread and wine on the altar. For as we do that, as we behold the body and blood of Christ in our midst, we are empowered to become the body and blood of Christ in the world. This is what worship and relationship with God is all about. To be transformed, to be liberated, to be Christ's body in the world, so that we might participate, be part of the work of transforming and liberating others. If we do this, if we can approach our worship with the utmost seriousness, integrity, and joy, if we can open ourselves to the healing touch of God that invites us into relationship, then we will be like the unnamed woman. Then we will be able to stand upright, to praise God with every fiber of our being. Then we will be able to gaze upon the very face of the life-giving, liberating, and loving God. Amen.